This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, what is unique about you? Have you ever asked yourself, what makes you special? For me, I'm a believer. For all of us, inshallah, we are believers. If I say I'm a believer, there needs to be something about me that is special. And if I don't realize that, if I don't pick it up, or if I don't make an effort to be someone who is special and unique in so many ways, then I have a problem. If Allah has given me the gift of recognizing Him, of believing in Him, surely the way I speak needs to be unique. The way I interact with people needs to be unique. He's chosen me to worship Him alone. He's chosen me to do so much good, and I call myself a believer. People out there watch me, they look at me, they see, if they were to see goodness, it would reflect in a good way. But imagine them witnessing hooliganism, witnessing people with bad, dirty habits, people fighting with their spouses and children in public, or stories of them doing the nastiest things in their homes, being told to others who are not even believers, or even to other believers. What is so unique about me in that case? If anything, I'm reflecting badly on myself, on the people who follow the faith, and even on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, unfortunately. And sometimes people might look at a bad way to Allah Almighty, na'udhu billah, just because those who claim to follow Allah are actually hooligans at times. Do you get what I mean? So there needs to be something unique. You need to understand you are an ambassador. You are an ambassador of the faith. You're an ambassador of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ultimately, Allah has placed you on earth to enact and reenact that which He wants you to do. And there are people before you who have done it. There are messengers who came in order to show you how it's done. That was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Almighty has indeed favored us in certain ways. He expects us to follow through. This morning I received a call from someone complaining about her husband. And to be honest with you, I felt that as believers we should be unique. There should not be that complaint, neither from this way nor from that way, neither from the husband nor from the wife. Am I not a person who's going to be careful? You know, when I speak to people, more so my own wife, something that actually really makes me upset is I come across people who fight for each other to get married. Will you talk to my mother? Will you talk to my father? Will you talk to her folks or his folks? They don't want, they are not agreeing, they are not accepting, and so on. Do you know what? We get into it, we stick our heads into it, we start talking to the parties, telling them, please let your son get married to this person, or please let your daughter marry this person. They really want to do it, knowing sometimes that they're not a match. They're not a match. But guess what? They're too deeply into either infatuation or what they think is love, or sometimes it's a crush. Sometimes it's a crush. Have you ever thought of why they call it a crush? Because you get crushed. That's the reason. You get crushed. They say, I fell in love. You fall because you get hurt, right? They didn't say, I stood up in love or something. They say, I fell in love. Astaghfirullah. Do you know why? Because you fall. You really fall. And then what happens? They say, a crush. I have a crush, you know. What crush? You're going to get crushed. Protect your heart, protect your soul. Thank Allah you came across lovely people, but it doesn't mean that you can have everything you came across. Not at all. You need to work very, very hard on your marriage. Sometimes someone you've had a crush on, you would not survive a day with them because in reality they have nothing unique about them at times. Nothing unique. It does. You don't fit into the equation. But what I was saying, we get involved, we fight the case. Sometimes perhaps we think, inshallah, these guys are genuine. You know, they met each other in a proper way and alhamdulillah, they want to get married. Maybe because of a difference of ethnicity. Some of the parents are a little bit reluctant and so on. Do you know what? We tried our best and we succeed. We succeed at times. Reluctantly, the father says, okay, let it happen. Do you know what? I officiated a nikah a few days ago. And I made the wali look into the eyes of the groom. And I made the groom look into the eyes of the wali. And talk to each other, hold each other's hands and say, I am giving you as the wali of so-and-so, giving her to you in nikah with the name of Allah, following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the mahar that we've agreed upon in the presence of these witnesses. I said, look him in the eye. And then I said, now you can reply to him. Say, I, so-and-so, have accepted so-and-so in my nikah with the mahar of so much, or whatever we've agreed upon in the presence of the witnesses, in the name of Allah, following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why look him in the eye? Because you know what? You cried for my sister. You fought. You guys really don't take it for granted. That's my sister. I promise you. And I look you in the eye to know she's got some men behind her who will fix you up if you try any nonsense. By the way, I have 8 daughters, mashallah. You can imagine why I'm saying all of this. But nonetheless, do you realize that if you're a believer, you don't need anyone to warn you. You fought for someone. Inshallah, we get married. It took 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. I know people who've waited for 8 years and then they got married. And guess what? Honeymoon period. What happens? It lasts for as long as it takes to go around the corner. That's it. Subhanallah. And after that, screaming, shouting, it all starts. In the case of a lot of people, not all, a lot. There are some, mashallah, they are very conscious. What makes you unique? Are you really a believer? If you are, fear Allah. One of the parting advices of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, regarding women. He says, fear Allah regarding your treatment of women. That's what he said. People say, no, but you know, nowadays they're getting spoiled and they're this and they're that. My brother, you're screaming, you're yelling, you're beating people up, trying to use a verse of the Quran to say, I can do this, I cannot do this. What rubbish. May Allah Almighty protect us. Your evil qualities, your bad ways, your bad habits are all reflecting. And you know what? You're using an excuse. I'm the man, I'm the boss, I'm the king of the home. All that might be if only you consider the person with you as a queen of the home. Come on. Where did you see a king beating up a queen? Have you? Unless it happens behind closed doors. Allahu alam. Well, I don't think so. It doesn't. May Allah Almighty grant us protection. So you're unique, aren't you? You're supposed to be unique. What is so special about you? Why do you call yourself a believer when you want to be someone who's far away from the teachings of Allah and His Rasul? And then you look at other people who perhaps might be better than you and you think to yourself, these guys are extreme. Extreme in what way? Go and see how they treat their wives. Go and see how they treat their family members. You cried to get married. You tried so hard to get married. You couldn't even, subhanallah, convince people to get you married to whom you wanted to. You needed the help of others. You had to cry to Allah. And now that it happened, and now that you did get married, guess what? You're treating her badly. Or the other way around. The disrespect starts. One of the two parties. We as believers, the uniqueness is, the minute you start noticing a crack, you need to work on it. You need to make sure you help each other. You need to try your best to make amends. You need to try your best to solve the problem. You need to try and try. Set yourself a deadline if you want. You're a human. Look, I'm going to try for 3 years. After that, I'm going to give up. I know women, or sometimes even men, who say, 10 years I tried, 15 years. The last 30 years, these habits have not changed. They've only gotten worse. Well, Allah allows you to actually separate for His sake, for your sanity, for your uniqueness. What's so unique about you? You know what was unique about me? I tried very hard. When I was sworn at, when I was beaten, when I really couldn't do anything about it, the unique part of me is that I walked away with a smile, thanking Allah. Oh Allah, it's going to be hard, it's going to be tough, but I had to walk away for your sake, for the sanity of everyone, for me to be able to worship you in a better way, I walked away. Alhamdulillah, that's part of the uniqueness of a believer. But I didn't oppress anyone, I didn't hurt or abuse or harm anyone. We just didn't get along. That's what happened. Why is it that we find ourselves calling ourselves believers, but we're ugly in the way we operate? We steal, we cheat, we deceive, we have road rage. Yesterday, someone forwarded me some new law, apparently in Saudi Arabia, that fines you 20,000 riyal for road rage. Wow, well done, mashallah. I hope it comes with a prison sentence too. Because subhanallah, what is road rage? You're getting upset and angry. Be courteous. Let people in. If someone really did come in, you might want to use your horn, but you don't have to swear, scream, shout, abuse. In South Africa, take out guns. That's what they do in our country. And they use those guns. Astaghfirullah. I met a gangster here. Well, a guy who was a gangster before. And you know, the language they were speaking was like, you know, we have weapons. Some of the guys say they have weapons. Legal, illegal, I don't know. Allahu A'lam. And I said, hey, my brother, you know what? These are just playing games. Come to South Africa and see what happens there. May Allah Almighty protect all of us. We have the protection of Allah. We don't need anything. You need to be a unique person. I want everyone tonight to promise that you're going to work on this uniqueness. I'm unique. I need to be an asset within my home, my family. I must help out. I must help. I must help my mother, my father. I must be respectful. Even if there is a problem, I must be a vehicle of solving the problem, not creating a bigger disaster. I must be able to do things that are special. That's what makes me a believer. Then I can call myself a mu'min. Our brothers and sisters are dying in Gaza. You know what's happening. It's unacceptable. It's a genocide. It's even worse. And here we are, not exemplary in our own families. It's more like we have our own little Gaza going on in our own homes. Big problem. People are crying from before the issue because we have issues at home. And who is it entailing? It's you causing the problem. You are the issue. You are the problem. If that's true, we can resolve. We can change. We have to. We must. Imagine getting married and 3 years later, we fought for each other for 8 years. 3 years later, we're swearing, shouting. You know why? This guy has no time for his wife. But every night and every other night, he wants to go and spend the night with his friends, coming back at 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Have you forgotten the days you used to fight to get married, crying to Allah at the time of tahajjud? And now you're with your friends. We're only doing shisha. We're only doing what? Shisha. What do you mean you're only doing shisha? Do you know what happens with that shisha? By the way, I've known of people who've died. I know of people who've died because of some of the adverse effects of that shisha. Worse than the cigarette. And they will tell you, nah, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Sheikh, have you ever done a shisha? No. Well, then how do you know? I've had someone come and tell me that. Have you ever done a shisha? No. Well, then how do you know? Just leave us alone. It's my duty as a father figure. It's my duty as an elder. It's my duty as a person you may be looking up to remind you, be unique. There must be something unique about you. You're a believer. You're not an ordinary person walking on the street. You carry yourself in the most amazing way. When people look at you, they want to be like you. They respect you. They honor you. They love you. They feel so much of goodness within them that you are an asset to the society, the community. That's how it should be. I don't want to lead my life in a way that people look at me as a pain in community. I don't want to lead my life in a way that people look at me as a problem, as a liability. No, I'm an asset. I will come and help you because I'm supposed to be unique. I'm supposed to be a believer in Allah. I'm not going to hurt and harm my family members to begin with, be it my mom and dad. Whether or not they get on with my wife is a separate issue. I'm going to treat them both in a way they are supposed to be treated with utmost respect, and I will manage and navigate through whatever differences they are and ensure that none encroaches on the other. Subhanallah, were you taught that? The answer is no. Or you're lopsided, siding with one at the expense of the other. May Allah Almighty protect us. I love my parents. I wouldn't ever want to do a thing to hurt them. But I love the rest of my family, starting with my wife. And by the way, she's seated here this evening, mashallah. Now you know why I said all of that. But my brothers and sisters, to be very honest with you, May Allah Almighty grant us goodness. Pray to Allah to help you eradicate bad habits and develop good habits. Let there be something unique about you. We're talking here. It's a motivational evening. And I'm going to tell you that wallahi, I need to work on myself and so do you. Become a better person. How can you get married and then after some time you say, but I'm only going out with my friends. No, my brother, it's wrong. Those are all bachelors. And if one or two of them are married, they have marital problems. They are also facing a disaster. Their spouses are telling them, how do you like it, for example? Sorry, let me finish that sentence. Their spouses are telling them the same thing. How would you like it if it was the other way around? Your wife went out every night up to 2 and 3 in the morning and decided, I'm just with my friends. What are you doing? Shisha, hookah, whatever they call it, right? And by the way, the flavor was quite nice. You would have liked it if you were there, right? Imagine, what would you do if it was the other way around? Unacceptable. If it is unacceptable that way, it is unacceptable this way. Thank you very much. So why on earth did you get married? You have no time for your kids. You have no patience with them. And you call yourself connected to Allah. You call yourself a believer. You're a Muslim. You're a mu'min. You should be ashamed of yourself. May Allah protect us. Go and spend more time there. Do what's right. Your life is short. You will die before you know you're going to die. Has anyone known I'm going to die tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock? That's it. I'm going. Goodbye. No. You die without all of that. You're gone. And that's it. You don't want to regret it. Allah has blessed you with a faith that governs every aspect of your life. If only you understand. Look, when you are evil, that evil comes back to you. It has a long-term effect. It will come back to haunt you. And when you are good, it's not easy. It requires a lot of sabr, a lot of patience. But it comes back in goodness, multiplied back to you, wallahi. Wallahi. You're patient, Allah will reward you for your patience. But you might have to be patient for a few years. You carried yourself respectfully, you were a good person, Allah will reward you. But when that reward comes, you will thank Allah. It will be massive. May Allah Almighty bless all of us. May Allah help me to work on my bad habits. And may Allah help me eradicate that which is bad. Work on becoming a better person. I'm a believer, so when someone wants to make me upset, I don't just get upset in a rush because it's shaitan. Shaitan is the one who actually messes with your temper. He wants you to get angry so that you utter words. Whenever we officiate nikah, like I said earlier, when we officiate a marriage, you wouldn't expect me to talk about divorce. Okay, brothers and sisters, these two are getting married today and I'm going to talk to you 15 minutes about divorce. But many people need that. They need the topic because you know what? They get angry. They get physical. They get ugly. They get abusive, and then they utter words that are disastrous, words of talaq and divorce and so on, unnecessary. And then suddenly you realize, what did I do? That was something humongous in the eyes of Allah. You know what? It's your temper, your anger. And then they'll come to the sheikh and say, sheikh, but I was angry. Well, who's happy and excited when the divorce happens? You have a lovely cup of tea, you go out on a holiday and you're enjoying yourself and one day you're sitting watching the sunset and you said, you know what, I divorce you. It doesn't happen. It happens at a moment of in a moment of rage, in a fit of rage. You don't allow yourself to utter. Keep quiet. Close your mouth. Don't say bad words. I'm a human. I also have a little bit of a temper, I have to admit, right? Very, very calm, very rare, extremely rare. And if I do, it's extinguished very quickly. But sometimes I end up saying things I don't realize are hurtful. I don't realize I need to be told later on, you know what? What you said was pretty hurtful. I wouldn't have expected that from you. I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. And then it won't happen again for a long, long time, inshallah. Well, that's human, isn't it? But every day, unacceptable. Every other day, unacceptable. Every so often, unacceptable. If once in a while, human trait, something happened, you got a bit cross and upset, people know this is, the guy is a good guy. The person, even the female, the wife, or the girl, if I should put it that way, the mother. It's not correct to have a bad habit that shows every single day. Work on it. You're a believer. You have Allah. You're returning to Him. Because we have family members around us. A lot of the times children, they watch what you do. And you know what? They emulate exactly the way you talk. You'll be shocked. One day, they're all calm, seeming quiet. Wallahi, you see them getting married. If Allah allowed you to overhear something, they would sound even worse than what you sounded like. And you would have a little flashback of your days when you used to scream and yell. What happened? They learnt it from you without you realizing. Don't allow that to happen. You're unique. You don't extinguish fire with fire. Not at all. You're a unique person. Allah's created you in a unique way. You want to get upset? Calm down. That's the moment that Allah rewards people. Anger. The biggest thing that we could actually do is to control our temper. When a young man came to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and says, I need your advice. Now let me tell you exactly what happened. Imagine you get a moment with someone you've looked up to for a long, long time. And you get one moment with them. And in this case, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this young man, excited, he said, let me just ask one thing. What am I going to ask? Tell him, oh, Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me some advice. It's tough because obviously, what are you going to say? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, la taghdab, don't get angry. He says, give me more advice. He says, don't get angry. He says, give me more advice. Don't get angry. Now, do you realize that if I were to repeat something 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times, that would probably make you angry? Do you understand what I'm saying? Perhaps the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that this young man needed a reminder about his temper. Because what is it? It's creating that uniqueness. You are a youngster. You have a temper. You need to watch your advice. Do not get angry. If you cannot control your temper, this is the advice to make you unique. To make you the one whom Allah loves. And verses of the Quran revealed, Allah says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Talking about the people of paradise, Allah says, those who extinguished their anger, those who fought their temper, those who did away with their anger, and those who forgave people, they will be in paradise. Imagine paradise for what? Holding back. What was it? Temper. Because when you're angry, you're going to be hurtful, you're going to be abusive, you might be vulgar, you might get physical. And when you get physical, it's only because you know that the other person is physically perhaps weaker than you. Before, most of the cases were husband bashing the wife, and they use religion to try and justify it. Na'udhu billah. The other day someone said, what do I do? My husband beats me up. I said, you can ask for a nullification of that nikah on those grounds and it will be done. But he justifies it. Forget about the justification. If the guy beats you up and he's beating you up the way you're describing, in that case you can actually get the marriage dissolved without him even having a say in it. He doesn't need to have. We can dissolve that for you. The courts can do it. The ulama can do it. People can do it. Oh, I didn't know that. But then I still love him. That's the issue. Then we need to work on him. So my brother, your wife loves you so much. What are you doing all this for? Why do you beat her up every little while? Some people get a kick out of it. May Allah Almighty forgive us. You become abusive, you become hurtful, you become physical, then you start uttering things. Before you know it, you're hurting yourself because you're saying words that are going to be held against you on the day of judgment in front of Allah. Why? Calm down, cool down. When you're young, you're a teenager, you have a temper bubbling, bursting with energy. You think you're the king of the world. I can punch anyone and I'll knock them out. Until you punch someone and he knocks you out. Then you realize, shucks, that was just me in my teenage feeling. I was a big man, but there's others bigger than me. You know? But we all went through that phase, teenage phase, where we all thought we were strong, we were hard, we always wanted to be the center of this and that. No. It's just a phase. Get out of it as soon as you can, inshallah. Work on yourself. Become unique. Learn to help people, the destitute, the weak, the widows, the orphans, the downtrodden. Help them go out. Reach out to them. Take out from your pockets. Give them. Allah will open so many other doors for you. But more than all of that, watch your tongue. Because it's important. That's why when Allah speaks about the charities, He says, don't waste your charities by becoming hurtful or bragging about what you've given. Verse of the Quran. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. O you who believe, don't nullify or destroy your charities by bragging about them or by being abusive. You become abusive, hurtful. The way you talk is so bad that your charity is nullified. Why? You are unique. So am I. What makes me unique? I'm a believer. I claim to be connected to Allah, to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I claim to be connected to the deen, the faith that is beautiful, amazing. Well, if I am, I need to prove that claim. And charity begins at home. Too many people are struggling within our own circles. And a lot of the times it's because of us. We're the ones who need help. And the arrogance, they don't fear anyone. Who are you going to tell? Go tell them, let's see, I'll fix them up. I'll fix you up as well. No, we are a community, we are a society, we are an ummah. We will stand up to help. We will assist, we have the right. If need be, we can get you jailed, my brother or my sister. It's not such a difficult task. If you deserve that and you've been engaged in criminal behavior within the home, we can stand up. People tolerate it for a while. After that, wallahi, it's not worth tolerating. The man needs help. And sometimes the only help, I tell you what happened. One example. Sometimes the only help is to be imprisoned. There was a young boy on drugs. May Allah protect all of us and our children. And it was so bad, but there was a dispute between mother and father because one was lenient and one was a bit hard. One was saying, kick him out of the house. And the other one saying, but that's my son. It happens, right? And they tried to speak to the child and so much happened. A lot of guys on drugs are professional liars. They can lie to you through the skin of their teeth and they can con you that they're the holiest and most pious people in the world. Unfortunately, it's just a trait because that's how they get back to the drug. And that's how this happens. And that it's a weakness. They need help. We love them, but we don't love their habit. So what happened is this guy went to the UAE. And while in the UAE, on a holiday, he needed his drug. And what he did is, he decided to make a plan to try. I don't know how they do it, but they have some circles. Somehow you look at someone and they look at you and you know, this guy's got what I want. I don't know how it works, but that's what they say. They say these guys are so sharp, they actually can pick it up. They just look at you, look at them. Next thing, they're shaking hands. It's not shaking hands. They've exchanged something. You don't even know how it works. Wallahi, may Allah make us use our brains for good things rather than bad things. Sometimes I sit and think, if these guys are so sharp for the wrong things, imagine if they applied that sharpness to the right things, they would be geniuses on earth, man. So what happened? They caught them. Authorities caught them and jailed this guy for a few years. And there was a disaster. Now the people came to me to say, would you talk to anyone you know because we need to release? I said, listen, I can't get involved in this thing here. Nobody wants to be, you know, going and fighting on behalf of a criminal. What do you mean criminal? My son? No, there was criminal behavior. A few years later, the guy was released. Guess what? That was the best rehab for him ever. Had he gone anywhere else, he would never have come out scot-free. No more drugs. It came out of his system. He had food and drink. He had everything while in prison. He was respected. He had his prayers in order. He had good company there. He had other people. He had someone who was like, a top person, highly educated. He made friends with this person. He came out from there saying, you know what, it was the best thing that could have happened to me. Otherwise, guys, I was never going to come out of this rut. And I sat and I said, look at this. Sometimes the best thing that could happen to this child who's hooked on drugs is spend some time in prison, 3 years, 5 years, because sometimes they're a source of the deepest pain to their parents and family members. They don't realize, I need to quit. I need to cut. I need to stop. Where am I going? How long am I living? The worst part is not where am I right now. I may lose my hereafter. That's the biggest problem. Imagine losing your hereafter. Forget about if you've lost a little bit on earth here. It's fine, we all lose things. But imagine I die and then there's nothing there for me because I led such a dark life that now I'm into a dark tunnel. May Allah protect all of us and our offspring and the ummah. May Allah guide humanity at large. So sometimes the best thing is something you think is the worst. It helped this guy. It took him out of the mess. It made him realize. I've seen people turn to faith in prison. I've seen people become Muslim in prison because they realize, wallahi, this is something amazing. It's connecting me to the supreme deity, the power that exists. What is Islam all about? It has a uniqueness to it. Do you know what it is? We are taught you worship the one who made you alone, and you say, O you who made me, you are the greatest. For you, I'll put my head on the ground and I will say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, which means, glory be to my Rabb, the one who made me and who is in control of entire existence, the one who is the highest. That's it. This is the uniqueness. This is what we need to strive towards, being unique. I'm going to control my temper. I'm going to ensure that I don't hurt the people who are closest to me, given to me by Allah. Who's in your home? Allah chose those people. Your mother, Allah chose them. The other day, someone asked me a question. Can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, what's it? So long as it's not a long question. He says, why did Allah have to make all of us? I said, well, we ask Allah, don't we? I'm here, not because I want to be here. I'm on earth because I was put on earth. Every one of us here, not a single one of us wanted to be here. No. You were placed here. That's why I say man is so insignificant. He's in a place that he didn't even ask to be in. He has no control over it. Did you have control over coming on earth? No. It means you will not have control the next stage too. It's Allah. So build a relation with whoever made you. Oh, you who put me here, I love you and I worship you alone. I'm going to put my head on the ground for you and I'm going to ask you, the day I return to you, have mercy on me because I worshiped you alone. Allahu Akbar. That's Islam. So if we are here without our own will, if Allah put us here, surely we need to behave in a way that we are conscious of the day we're going to go back. Everyone's going. Do you want to go? In the case of the bulk, it's no. Especially when Allah's created ease and so on. You know, it's something unique. Look, we came on earth. No one asked us if they could bring us here. They just brought us here. Okay, we came. Now when we're on earth, when you have problems, we want to go away. Where? To where? Say, I want to die. Why? I've got too many problems. Have you heard people say that? I've heard a lot. They come to me and say, I don't want to live anymore. Why? Because I've got problems. I said, well, we came on earth to solve those problems. You don't have to die. Solve the problem. Well, I won't be able. You will. You will, by the help of Allah, solve all the problems by His will. You'll enjoy it. You'll be rewarded for it. I'm going to try and keep trying. That's Allah says, I sent you to test you. It's evidence that He's testing you. That's why we all have problems. But then there's another disaster. When your life is too much on the green side and it's very rosy and everything is growing and everything is blossoming, guess what happens then? Then you don't want to die. Because you know what? I'm enjoying. I have a yacht. I have a beautiful aircraft. I'm sitting with, mashallah, a lovely, luscious palace. I've got another holiday home in the Maldives. I've got another one somewhere else. And I've got, mashallah, I still need to go. The year passes. You say, but I was only there for 10 days, but the palace is, you know, is collecting dust. I need to go a little bit longer. Imagine if the angel of death were to tell you, you've just got 2 years to go. You say, what? 2 years? Just 2 years? I've got 2 years. Can I tell you, the angel of death doesn't even give you notice. So what do you do? Allah says, enjoy. Definitely. If we've blessed you, enjoy it without forgetting us. Enjoy it, but keep a connection with us. Because with us, there's reality. With you, there's deception. With us, there's reality. With you, there's deception. What does that mean? Whatever we found on earth, we didn't have it when we came here. When I came on this earth, I quickly had to be clothed. I told my mom, I must have been such a good child, I didn't cry. She said, no, you yelled. You screamed. As you were born, that cry, you know. And as soon as I'm born, they covered me with something. Because I came with nothing. Allah tells you, oh man, don't ever say you have nothing, because even if you just have a piece of cloth, you have more than what you came with. Subhanallah. That's why, as an honor to man, he sent back with more than he came with. The shroud. So no one can say, I came on earth, I've got nothing. You have. You might have less than others. But the best thing is your connection with Allah. Because even if you have a lot, you found it here, you're going to leave it here. Say, for example, and say, Ameen. May Allah bless all of us. Say, Ameen. May Allah grant us millions and billions so that we can spend it in the right path. Just say, Ameen. MashaAllah. And I'm not talking of Zimbabwean dollars, by the way. I'm talking of proper pounds, pounds. Okay. We know, imagine for a moment that Allah gave you 1 billion. 1 billion. Just 1 billion, right? I see some of the guys smiling already, picturing, yeah, 1 billion, 1 billion, mashallah, yeah. What would you do? I promise you, you won't be able to use more than a few million for what you need. That's it. The rest of it is excess. You're going to waste. You're going to blow here, blow there. And guess what? When you die, there's going to be two types of wealth. That which you didn't spend and that which you spent. And from that which you spent, there's two types of wealth. That which you wasted and that which you built. That which you wasted is gone. It's over. When you eat, there's a uniqueness about food. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, tells us, no matter how wealthy you are, you really want to eat, divide your belly into an average of three. Third, liquid. Third, solid. Third, air. If you really would like, that's the way it should be. Guess what? At times, you pay a lot for unhealthier food. You eat at home every day, your whatever it might be. Trust me. Relatively healthy. I know I come from Africa. They have they call it the mealy meal. It's a powder of the corn. Extremely healthy. No cholesterol, no sugar problems, nothing. The guys are healthy, fit, strong, solid, big, huge individuals. MashaAllah. Now what's happened? We've introduced burgers. We've introduced chips. They call them French fries. You go to France and they fry you. MashaAllah. By the way, I don't think it's got anything to do with France, does it? But nonetheless, it becomes unhealthier and unhealthier and unhealthier and so on. And then they come up and tell you, hang on, there's a healthy part of it, but we're going to charge you 10 times more. They call it something else. And they make a fool of you by whatever they do. The point is, the guy who spent a pound and ate that corn that I was talking about, and another person who spent 200 pounds and ate at a five-star place, both of them filled the cavity, didn't they? Both of them filled the exact cavity, didn't they? They lived. If anything, perhaps this one would be healthier than that one long term. And Allah's showing you, do you know what I provided for both of you on your level? This guy's got enough money to go to the hospitals and get his cholesterol checked and do this and do that and whatever. May Allah grant us all good health. Ameen. What's the uniqueness of a believer in all of this? No matter whether you have this or that, you're thankful to Allah. You don't waste. You don't abuse. You make sure you empower others. That's the winner. I want to deposit. Deposit. What am I going to do? Allah's given me a billion. Well, I need to know I'm going to go to an everlasting life in order for me to have the biggest palace on the other side. Wallahi, I need to deposit money in the bank of Allah. I need to give something that Allah would be happy with me. I've got so much. Here there are people struggling. Allah says, if we wanted, we would have fed all of them. But the reason why we didn't is because we want to give you an opportunity to shine. That's all. Allah says, the sustenance of everything that moves on earth is upon us. So why the hell did he keep people who are in need? To give an opportunity to those who have to shine. To show that uniqueness I started the talk about. You're unique as you walk through anyone in need that crosses your path. The minimum is you said a prayer in your heart, oh Allah, help this person. You're shining. And if you have the means, you do it. Do it. Don't be afraid. You shine. You don't know how long you're going to live for. MashaAllah. Allah Almighty says, we didn't need you to feed the ant. We fed the ant. We didn't need you to feed the poor. Good cause will not stop because you didn't give. Someone else will give. Someone else shone. Subhanallah. Allah's cause continues. Allah's written it already. It's going to come. The sustenance is coming. It's coming. You or someone else. It'd rather be me. May Allah use me all the time to do good and all of us. Say ameen. It's tough. We have our own struggles. It doesn't mean I need to give cash all the time or I need to give something material all the time because I may not be able, I may not have enough at times, but at least a good word. And that's why when it comes to a beggar, an amazing, unique verse of the Quran, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. That is in Surah Al-Duha. Allah says, as for the one who is begging, He didn't say give. He wants you to give, obviously. He wants you to give if you can. But the point He emphasized was not the issue of giving. He says, as for the beggar who comes to you begging, don't rebuke him. Don't abuse him. Don't belittle him. You either give or you don't give. But everything that happens must happen respectfully. Because it could have been the other way around. And one day, it might be the other way around. May Allah never let that happen. Allah says, don't rebuke. You don't want to give, don't give. But just respectfully move on. As I was coming here on the A406, someone came to the window begging. I was quite shocked because obviously I'm used to Africa where there's about 10-15 of them. Here there was only one. Nonetheless, it wasn't supposed to be. But I thought to myself, minimum is don't open your window and say a swear word or say, what are you doing here? Or go back to where you came from. But that's what some people do. Do you know why? They don't believe in Allah. They don't realize the blessings. They don't realize we're going to leave everything we came with. I'd rather deposit it in a good way than leave it with me and I die. And guess what happens to it? I can tell you something, another thing that's shocking. The more you leave behind, the bigger the problems within your children and grandchildren and circles are. When you have less and you've left behind almost nothing, there are still brothers and sisters talking to each other. When you've left behind a billion, trust me, chances of them killing each other to fight for something that wasn't even theirs in the first place are bigger. It doesn't happen in every case, but in most cases. I know because I'm involved in a lot of those arbitrations. They fight over a million. When wallahi the estate is like 500 million and they're fighting over 1 million. My brother, I know of a guy who was prepared to give up everything there and the figure wasn't even big. But the bigger the figure gets, guess what? It becomes more connected to the heart. I know of someone who says, inshallah, once my father dies, I'll be a rich man. I heard this with my own ears. I said, what do you mean? He said, my father's very rich. I said, so you mean you're waiting for him to die? He says, well, you can't word it that way, but in a nutshell, when he dies, I'll be a rich guy. I said, that's exactly what you're saying. Imagine sometimes our own kids are waiting for us to die because they think, hey, the guy's got a few million stashed away and I'm going to be getting it. What kind of child? But then again, what kind of parent who doesn't spend on his own children that they have to wish for his death? You're a multi-millionaire and your child can't even afford a car. What was the point? And you say, no, fix them. That one's got a husband. You know what? The husband should provide. Allah's given you. You're the father. You can call your son-in-law and say, you know what? Here's a million. Mashallah. If anything, he'll be ashamed of the affair he's been having. Allah forgive us. May Allah grant us ease. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters, let's prioritize. Let's do the right thing. And let's become people who are connected to Allah. You know, I've overshot my time and I'm seeing Brother Rahim sitting here and he's calm, cool, not even reminding me that, hey, your time's up a long time ago. But you know what? We don't get to meet every time on Boxing Day, mashallah. So that was just the bonus, inshallah. May Allah Almighty grant you all goodness and ease. I pray that this uniqueness shines and everyone can notice it. Please, my brothers and sisters, promise yourselves and promise Allah that I'm going to work on myself and become this unique person that a believer is supposed to be. Don't just be an ordinary guy. No, you're not an ordinary boy or girl or man or woman or brother or sister. You are unique. Allah's blessed you. You need to work on yourself, be an amazing individual. And then you see how beautiful you feel when you walk and everyone prays for you and people consider you an asset and an amazing person, even in the face of challenges and problems. We try to resolve them. We try our best. May Allah help us all. The husbands from amongst us, work hard on your marriages. The wives from amongst us, work hard. Work hard. The children are a huge responsibility. Spend time with your family members. Spend a lot of time. Go easy on them. Don't give preference to your friends over your family members. Yes, it's good to go once in a while, but not twice in a while, not three times in a while, just once in a while. Once in a while, you know what? And when you're such a lovely husband or such an amazing person, those around you won't mind if you went once in a while. They say, no problem, you can go. In fact, without even asking you, they'll tell you, are you not going to go out with your friends any one of these days? Because why? They feel you've done a lot. You've done more than you're supposed to. That's okay. That's not even a problem. But when you go every day and you come home and you're grumpy and you're angry, wallahi, those are bad signs, very bad signs. So we are here today to motivate you to do the right thing. May Allah Almighty grant all of us Jannah. It's been lovely seeing some of the elder people here. I've seen some of the mums in our midst here make dua for us. We are so honored to have you this evening. Wallahi, it's a blessing. I know that some of you probably don't even come to functions like these. But mashallah, well done. Well done. You've given us a boost and an encouragement. Shukran. Aqulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabina Muhammad.